would be, you can see plainly how it would be pretty nuts to say, this explains to you why the thing is speeding up. It doesn't explain it at all. If something is speeding up this way, this is a very nice description of the attributes of that kind of behavior. Right? But it certainly doesn't tell you why it's happening. Does it? Okay. Any questions about this intention and remission of forms? Because I'm done with my singing and dancing about it. There it is.
How does the name come about there, intention and remission?
Well, remissing, intending, intensity, intensio, remissio, more or less. It's got to do with adding and taking away.
Yeah.
If the intensity of a form, the intensity is the more of it, and the remission of it is the less of it. Yeah.
So they could still be Aristotelians because they could say the source of the change of forms is the soul.
Well, or in the case of something getting hotter and hotter and hotter, obviously there's a causal source of hotness that is continually informing this thing with hotness. And we notice the thing itself getting hotter. This might be a poker stuck in a bed of coals. Not only, you shouldn't say, so they could still be Aristotelians, with the possible exception of an argument whose outcome I don't know about whether Oraim is really a nominalist or not. Forget Oraim, he's only one person doing this. The people that are doing this are by and large absolutely Aristotelians. There's no doubt about their view of natural philosophy and the place of this kind of analysis in it. This illustrates what I said before you came in. This shows you the place of mathematics in an Aristotelian science. It's appropriate for description. It's useful when there's something practical about the more or less of something. If you need to know how hot will this thing be if it's heating up in this way over such and such a time, if that's important to know, will the lead have melted? Fine, use this, you'll be able to tell. You could predict the sorts of things this talks about perfectly well. How fast is this thing going after 10 minutes if it's speeding up in this particular way? How far will it have gone after such and such a time if it's moving in a particular way? Right. All this has a perfectly coherent place in a scheme of things.
But once you've shifted your focus from the study of being, qua being, and you're starting to look at these external mathematical categories that you can find are so true and so applicable, you've already taken a step away from Aristotelians.
I don't see why. I mean, in one sense, as you were saying, what's your name? Dan. As Dan was saying, the real world is in fact a lot messier than this. So in a sense, this is very clean conceptual analysis about what would obtain in certain situations. Yes, mess it up, you can still use these tools, but the way in which this would, the only way in which this would The only way to treat this that would see you beginning to depart from a good scholastic camp would be if you began to say, this is as valuable in telling me causally what's going on here as any kind of mumbo-jumbo about forms, informing principles, souls, natural motion, and so on. That is, if you began to talk as if these kinds of truths about this kind of behavior, in fact, were beginning to look sufficient to constitute an explanation of that behavior. Merely paying attention to it doesn't change your status as an Aristotelian at all. Doesn't seem to me at all, not one bit.
Yeah.
Well, I understand the theory of, you know, as you draw it on the board and explain it, but what I'm wondering about is whether, again, developed at that time a theory regarding curves and circles.
Well, it's interesting you should ask, because another part of the answer to the question, what is the place of mathematics in any Aristotelian science? There's one place where geometry is explanatory, in those cases where a thing is moving itself according to geometrical form, the circular motion of the planets and stars. Here, the place of mathematics in celestial science, in astronomy, is more closely connected with causal understanding, because the claim here is these celestial things, the moon, Mercury, Venus, and so on, are moving themselves according to a mathematical score, a mathematical pattern, and that is the essence of it. These things are essentially expressing geometrical forms. Right? In this case, to do that fine-tuning, and determine exactly the rates of rotation of these different circles and their magnitudes is to discover the mathematical form, blueprint, which these planets actually have in mind. And this is how they express themselves. Now, what's interesting is this might be one way of understanding what's going on when somebody like Galileo comes along and says, this is enough for an understanding of motion. One way of seeing what Galileo might be thinking is, wait a minute, all moving things are expressing mathematical forms. How could he begin to think that's possible? Well, remember, between these guys and Galileo, who's the man who makes this famous, right, comes Copernicus, who says the Earth is just another planet. And who makes it, I think, conceptually incoherent to try to maintain a terrestrial-celestial distinction. In one point, in fact, in the dialogues, you'll see when Simplicio is objecting to the kind of incoherence that spinning the Earth at 24 hours and putting it in motion around the Sun, the kind of incoherence this introduces, Salviati, the Galilean spokesman, says, what's the matter with that? We're just making the Earth into the prima mobile. We're just making the Earth into... We're putting it in the heavens. This is to ennoble it. What's your problem? Simplicio. And he says, I'm at sea. I have no compass, no chart. We're done. This makes no sense. But if the if the terrestrial-celestial difference is gone, and we have 2,000 years of talking about these guys expressing themselves in mathematical forms, well, now this is just a piece of planetary stuff, right? This is Earth planetary stuff. Maybe everything expresses itself in mathematical form. And if that's right, then here's where all the action is. God is a geometer.
But that still give you a causal process of why it happened?
If this did, then that does. Because here, people were happy to say, these things, these planets, these spheres, are doing a dance of self-expression.
So all the other wheel turns around, they are to everything else.
Well, he never quite says it this way. But you'll see when we get to Galileo that there isn't anything that isn't moving in circle. If you draw a big picture in Galileo's story of something falling off the tower, here's the big G on the Tower of Pisa dropping something, from the point of view of the center of the Earth, the path of that thing is a semicircle. This, from the point of view of the center of the Earth, is going in a semicircle. Or I should say, a segment of a semicircle. And the Earth, from the point of view of the center of the Sun, is going in a circle. So it's all circles. There's nothing that isn't going in a circle. Even this, you know, we're going in a circle right now. So for Galileo, everything's going in circles. Okay? No, I won't even pretend. I'll pretend you didn't even say anything, all right?
See,
but you've got to restore yourself here. But it seems, as I said, and I don't want to go on and on about it, one can be a perfectly good Aristotelian, think all of this Galilean Copernican stuff is utter madness, and yet have a perfectly coherent place for mathematical analysis. Wherever there's a more or less of things, go. No problem. There's no problem about that. Wherever there's something to measure, go ahead and measure. You know, and what you'll measure and worry about is obviously what is of some interest or importance. This can only be of practical interest. If you want to know why does a heavy thing fall, you don't need to go through all this. You know what I mean? Says who? Yeah.
Was this kind of measurement used to try to get at the converse of that projectile motion?
Later on it is. At the time, I don't know for sure. This is where I said there might be an interesting bit of research to do. In the 1360s, 70s, 80s, when they're asking about, does a falling thing, one reading of impetus theory says a falling thing will fall. Does anyone say, let's go try it? Is there anybody up on the Tower of Pisa in 1372 dropping stuff to see which version of impetus theory or which interpretation of impetus theory? I don't know. There's some reason to think, yes. There's pretty good reason to think some people are imagining it. Whether anyone's actually doing it, I don't know. A very obvious place to start is the place where I took the excerpts you were reading from, a volume by a guy named Marshall Claggett called The Science of Mechanics in the Middle Ages. Yes, Larry.
Isn't this somewhat similar to the view of some scientists or I believe many scientists today, in that they don't look at the issue of cause, but they see measurements for practical purposes to solve practical problems.
Mm-hmm.
Is your argument said, well, we're not looking at cause because we know what cause is.
Or this isn't a looking at cause.
Yeah, that isn't looking at cause. Much like modern time to say, well, we're not interested in cause as such.
They almost say you can't ever answer the question why.
Well, there's a lot of water over the dam between these guys and now, and Galileo and his way of thinking figures pretty importantly into it.
I say so, but in a way it seems to me we follow more of that thought than we do Galileo's
thought. Oh, really?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just because I think but I mean, we wouldn't look, like he says, we don't look at that causal process to explain.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you're saying sort of the mirror image of the same thing. You were saying, suggesting, well, it looks to me like modern physical science, maybe modern science altogether, does take this kind of view of, look, what we're good at is description, prediction, control over the data. That's what we're good at. You know, here I am, real good at wave equations, and I'll make some predictions for you about how hot do you have to heat this flask of stuff before the molecules in it start to react with each other. I can figure this out from quantum bonding theory, blah, 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 right? And if you say, well, that's all very nice, you've got this kind of conceptual description of what's going on, but I want to know causal stories, the answer might be, and often is, I don't have any idea whether what one could imagine these wave equations are describing is something that's really there. I really don't know. Maybe you should ask a priest or somebody. All I know is that when I do all this stuff, it works. Now, this is a position that's fairly common among professional astronomers since Ptolemy. Now look, want to know when Easter is? You want to know when the first full moon is? Da-dum-da-dum-da-dum. I'll compute. It's not an easy calculation, but I'll tell you, and I'll be right. Now you say to me, is the moon really going around on the third of three epicycles, one of which is inclined out of the blackboard and flopping according to a little epicycle like this, because we have to get it right in longitude and latitude both. Are there really epicycles? An astronomer might say, beats me, but tell you what, go ask a philosopher. You know, that's not my department. I do these computations here. This stuff works. In a sense, I'm engaged in what I'm told is an inferior activity. To inquire as to the ontological status of this stuff, you've got to go ask philosophy, not astronomy. Okay. Now, philosophy of the Aristotelian Platonic sort will say, yes, this is the actual blueprint in the mind that is God, ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum, Mars is doing a cosmic dance. Here's the details. The professional astronomer, in a sense, within his own profession, is in a way entitled to say, I don't know. One way to say what is going on in the modern world is that that kind of specialization and has gone along with a kind of leveling. So you're not in a situation where there's any, well, I'm oversimplifying. It's not so obvious to us as it would be to an Aristotelian that just because you have a theory that works, that having a theory that works is really all you've got to worry about.
Question, the descriptive question. Mm-hmm. I mean, in some sense, whether a thing moves in an epicycle could be construed as a descriptive question and not a causal question. And you're talking about a kind of instrumentalism where the thing is sort of not open to view and you have some sort of mathematics that sort of works together, so-called imaginary entities to come up with a story. But I mean, in some sense, these epicycles could be plotted get outside, probably circle and watch it go around. So it could be just, it could be a descriptive thing.
Sure, sure. And this instrumentalist attitude is pretty common among astronomers, since at least Ptolemy. Do I know whether there are epicycles or not? No, I don't know. In fact, I'm not sure I can know. All I know is that when I go through these computations, I get good calendars.
But you could also say that yes, there are epicycles, but still not be making any ontological claims.
Why?
Because you could say an epicycle just describes the motion of something, right? Essentially, that's what an epicycle is.
Well, then, no, maybe not.
Now, the pattern it describes, I mean, could. Now, that's something that you don't want to make ontological claims about.
Well, suppose the pattern is something like this, right? But it's not just lines in space, because it's speeding up and slowing down as it does this. That's what the second epicycle is about. And the one I didn't draw that's flopping has this going in and out of the blackboard at a particular rate. All right, so I could end up with a kind of, yeah, I could end up with the line through space that the moon is actually traversing with respect to the center of the Earth. And you might say that's the thing that has ontological standing, the actual path of the real thing Mars, right? Mm-hmm. But then it would seem to me to be perfectly appropriate for my model Aristotelian to say, yes, that's the real path of real Mars, all right, in real space, whatever that is, limited space. But where does that path come from? It's an expression of this simple combination of what sort of first principle things, uniform circular motion. This is the blueprint, this is the program in the planet's mind, the program in the planet's driving machinery. That is sure enough what it does, but the program says six circles at these rates, put them together, go. And the result is this. So the circles might be thought of as having a kind of prior standing, where the path is just an effect.
Yeah, so why doesn't that work?
Because this ain't that kind of stuff. The celestial stuff is the kind of, remember? Now, I grant you that's just a theory, but any theory is just a theory, so it won't do to say that. They said, be an empiricist, look around. What about the stars and the planets? This unchanging, irregular regularity. It's got to be circles. Look around here. Coming and going, linear stuff. Generation corruptions. Got to be a different thing. Right? Transformations here, not there. That's the realm of mathematical order. This, there may be mathematical order in different ways, but it's not what's primary. Yeah.
I guess the reason is I think that they couldn't talk about cause, whereas Aristotle could, is because the causal idiom, which is one, the descriptivist, the people who describe things mathematically versus the Aristotelian notion of cause, is because if you look at the causal idiom, cause is something which something does. Sort of it comes from the inside, I do this.
Cause is something which brings about effect.
Yeah, but it's an internal, it's something that's done from the inside out, like in Aristotle's soul. I did it because I wanted this or that, whereas a description is from the outside, where you see something in terms of its movement.
Well, I see sort of what you're getting at. I don't know if this inside-outside come on, I could throw something along an ice surface, or not throw something, I could move something along a horizontal surface so it's speeding up constantly. The cause of that would be an external moving power, a vis impressa, I'm the source of it, this curling stone is the recipient of it, and that describes the motion of the curling stone perfectly.
But that's not natural motion. Natural motion.
But this is also a perfectly good description of anything speeding up, including something speeding up because I'm...
Sure, but if you wanted to make a distinction of what exists in nature...
Yes.
And like violent motion,
yes.
You know, or external motion,
yeah.
Is not something that exists in nature.
Yeah, what about a volcano blowing up and rocks flying up?
I guess I'm not sure what you mean. You mean that violent motion never occurs? Or?
Well, no, it occurs, but I mean...
Well, it doesn't exist.
No, things move in nature.
Yeah, things move in nature all the time, but there's...
There are things that are being made to move violently.
Yeah.
Okay. By an external cause.
Yeah.
Well, naturally,
just forget
me.
What I was saying.
I'm sorry. That's too bad. I wish I knew what was confusing you. The point is, this can be understood just as descriptive of particular circumstances, however they might come about. This doesn't explain how they come about. This describes what came about. Seems to me that would make the...
Okay, I know
okay.
The point I want to make.
Okay, good.
If you were to explain how things come about,
yes.
you're going to explain the why, the
right.
Wherefore.
Right.
Like when you explain the motion of celestial bodies,
mm-hmm.
you explain it basically by saying they're expressing...
You now as an Aristotelian.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Geometrical form.
Yep.
I mean, that is their nature.
That's
right?
What they do. Yep.
So natural motion, now here on the Earth,
mm-hmm.
could not be explained mathematically.
Right.
Right.
Because it's not expressing itself. Essentially, a mathematical thing.
Right.
Right. This is like an accident of.
Right.
Terrestrial natural motion. That's right. It's just coincidental.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not constant, I suppose, either. Whereas the heavens are going... You
know, oh, well, right.
Change.
I mean, this is the whole difference between a circle and a straight line.
Yeah.
This must terminate, except in an infinite universe. Is the universe infinite? Is there an infinite amount of stuff? No. Sure, this terminates. So it isn't eternal. Now, notice, if, again, we're talking about progress in Aristotelian theory, if it turns out that one consequence of impetus theory is that this thing is being impressed with a moving power from its own heaviness as it's falling, and therefore, you know, HD, hypothesis deduction, it should speed up with uniformly diform motion, then this will turn out to be a necessary consequence of natural motion, that it follow this pattern. Right? It will still be an accident of the motion, but it will be a necessary accident. You see what I mean?
It couldn't be otherwise.
Right. Right.
Is the movement of the planets, however, essential rather than
necessarily
necessary?
Yeah.
Here the claim is yes, because this is what they're doing. This thing's growing itself, more fulfilling its potential. This thing doesn't have to fulfill a potential. It expresses its own actuality. It is not getting more perfectly what it is. It is as perfectly what it is as it ever will be.
Is it only formed then?
Is it what it? Mars?
The planets, the expressors?
No, it's not, no, it has to be embodied. I mean, form, for us to perceive it, has to be embodied, right?
Uh-huh.
So you can't have pure form. So the fact that we can perceive the celestial stuff means that it's embodied, maybe not matter, terrestrial matter,
but only mathematical substance is essential.
No, it's not a mathematical substance.
That's right, well then shouldn't that mean that it would be an attribute of a prior substance, a celestial substance, rather than a, because if it weren't, you would be able to say in terms of definition what sort of thing it was. Like, I mean, Mars is the ratio of such and such.
No, or Mars
is the path of such and such.
Mars is this particular bunch of fifth matter, and it just is that bunch which expresses itself this way.